Hello there, and welcome to the Monday edition of Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. It's a new month. It's May the 3rd, and you know, I have to apologize. I didn't do a show on Friday, and in case you missed me, I'm sorry about that. I was running around. I had a lot to do. I had a meet with my spiritual director. I was on the road most of the day, and by the time I got home, I just was unable to do the show, and I apologize. I would have let you know in advance if I knew that I wasn't going to do it, but sometimes these things happen. But anyway, I'm back today. So glad to be back with you here on the program. Hey, we're going to talk about miracles today. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that miracles can still take place? Yeah, I know. We all tend to believe that up until the point, and tell me if I'm telling the truth. We believe it up until the point where we really need a miracle in our lives. Then it becomes a different story. Today, I want to examine the words of Jesus and what he said about miracles that would take place. And, you know, today is the feast of Saints Philip and James, two apostles. And the gospel was chosen, the gospel from today's Daily Mass was chosen specifically for this feast. And something Jesus said just really hit me today. So I thought it would be a good idea for us to talk about it on the show. And we will do just that. You know, lately I've been writing and speaking a lot about the idea of really believing in the power of Jesus. And honestly, I think that so many of us, now look, I'm grouping myself in that us category, I really am, so many of us tend to underestimate the power of Jesus, and that the fact that power is still with us today. And you know, in order for us to confidently face the problems that we face, and I don't doubt you have real problems in your life. I get a lot of emails, and I have a good idea. I don't know your specific situation, but I know that you're facing challenges and difficulties and struggles, and it's very easy to get overwhelmed. Unless we recognize that Jesus is more powerful than any problem that we could ever face. And you're going to hear me talk a lot more about that. Part of it is because it's something that I'm challenged by. You know, I always make it clear that I've struggled with anxiety for a long time, so I understand that. But I want you to know that for many years, I was discouraged. I was relatively hopeless about things in my life ever getting better. So I want you to know that I can relate, and I really feel this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to talk about. I believe that this has to be the focus of the ministry that I do. Helping the hopeless find hope in Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we will talk about miracles on the program today. So why don't you settle in? Let's get ready to pray, and let's talk directly to Jesus in our prayers today. Sometimes we direct the prayer to the Father, the opening prayer, but today let's direct our prayer right to Jesus, since we're going to be hearing from him when I read this gospel. Let's talk to Jesus, okay? Would you join me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, thank you for being here for us. Lord, I know that even though we can't see you with our eyes, that you are here, present with us, that you never leave our side, even though we don't always feel your presence. Lord, help us to believe in you. Help us to trust you more. Help us to listen to your words, especially in sacred scripture. To listen to your words and really put them into practice in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for entering our world, for rescuing us from death, from sin, from anxiety. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit to transform us into your image and to allow us to experience the power of healing miracles in our lives. Jesus, I ask you that you pour out your Spirit on me today. I know I have a message to deliver. I ask you to give me the words, Lord. And please inspire all of us through your Spirit to hear what it is that you have to say and to put it into practice. Jesus, we ask this in your name through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about miracles, so fasten your seatbelts, and I think you're going to enjoy this. And I pray that the Holy Spirit really opens your heart to this message today. It's one of those things that I can deliver the words, but unless the Holy Spirit touches you, unless the Holy Spirit really touches your heart, it's going to be very difficult to feel it, you know, and I'm going to need you to feel it today, and I believe that's possible. Anyway, happy Monday to you. It's a dreary day here, but it's still beautiful out. Eileen and I were able to go to daily mass today. We weren't able to get a walk in, but because it's sort of rainy out now. But it's still beautiful. Temperature is fantastic. I had a great weekend. I hope you did as well. I'm excited that we're now in the month of May. You know, it's funny. I think May is my favorite month out of all the months. There's something special about months about May. I'm sorry. I'm a summer guy. I really like the summer, and May is kind of like a free summer month. It's not really summer, but you still get the warm weather. Anyway, I'm very happy about where we are in the calendar. I'm happy to be here with you. I'm happy that the Lord is still risen. You know, it's still not too late to say, or it's still practical or relevant, I should say. That's the word I'm looking for, to say Happy Easter, because we are still in the Easter season. We don't want to give up celebrating the resurrection of the Lord just yet, because it changes everything. It changes everything once we recognize the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. Hey, if you want to find out more about my work, followingthetruth.com is my website. You can check out how to bring me to your parish or your conference to give a talk. While you're at the website, you can also pick up a copy of my new book, Give Up Worry for Good, 8 Weeks to Hopeful Living and Lasting Peace. And you can also sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Just go to followingthetruth.com to do all that. All right, let's talk about today. So today we celebrate two of the apostles, St. Philip and St. James. And as is the case with just about all the apostles, we don't know much about them. We know something about them through tradition, but we know that they were two of the 12, the original 12, called by Jesus. And he was going to use these guys to build his church. I want to talk about this. We're going to read this gospel. This gospel comes from John chapter 14 today. And Jesus will say one thing in particular that I really, that really stood out to me. Normally, when I go to Mass in the morning, or when I'm reading the daily Mass readings, I ask the Holy Spirit to let me know what it is that I should write about in my daily email reflection and or talk about on this show. A lot of times, it's the same thing, as is the case today. And this is what really stood out. And then you'll see how this goes down the path of miracles, of modern day miracles. But let's start it out. John chapter 14 begins in verse 6. Jesus said to Thomas, another one of the 12 apostles, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now this, you know, you put yourself back in the place of the apostles who had never seen God the Father. The idea of Jesus, the Son of God, coming to earth, entering our world, it's a radical idea. It's something that you and I often take for granted because we've heard it for so long and we just accept it. But for people who had worshipped an unseen, invisible God, somewhat mysterious, and often thought of as being distant, to have this encounter with Jesus was a big deal, especially when he said things like this: if you have seen me, and obviously they were seeing him because he was right there with them. If you have seen me, if you see me, you have seen the Father. That's what Jesus is saying. Philip then said to him, Master, and see, Philip still doesn't get this. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So he's telling Philip, look, you have seen me. You have seen me, Jesus. Therefore, you have seen the Father. You don't have to ask me to see the Father. How can you say, Jesus says to Philip, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen. I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, that's what I want to talk about. It's a big revelation what Jesus is saying here to Philip and really to us, because this passage is included in the divinely inspired Bible. So this is God speaking to us through this message. Jesus is saying, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. It's a big deal, because for us, we have not seen Jesus in the flesh. But as a Catholic, when I see the Eucharist, when I see him in Holy Communion, by faith, I believe that I am seeing Jesus. He looks different, but I believe that that is him. So therefore, when I see that host, when I receive that host, when I encounter Jesus in that very intimate way, I'm also encountering the Father on a deep level. Now, some of this is mysterious. It's beyond our comprehension. We've got limited intelligence. I can only digest so much of this. And that's why faith is critical. Because I believe by faith, that means there's some mystery involved. That's the point of faith. And you know, so what's happening here is a really powerful revelation. But what struck me today, and this is what I'm going to talk about, is when Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus is saying, if you believe in him, you will do, or you can do, even greater works than he has done, because he's going back to the Father. Now, for years, that has bothered me. That's one of those verses that, you know, that we all have those verses where sometimes it's just easier to ignore them and look for something else. And sometimes you have to do that. I mean, you're never going to understand every word of Scripture at one point in time. It's a progressive thing. There are things I understand now that I did not understand maybe a year or two ago. And there will hopefully be things that I will understand 2 years from now that I don't understand now. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. It's a constant new revelation. So what the heck is Jesus talking about when he's saying to us, you're going to do greater works than I have done. All you need to do is believe in me. Well, let's talk about this. And one of the things to consider is that Jesus had a public ministry that lasted for 3 years. His ministry lasted for 3 years, and then he was finished. He died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. So his official public ministry was done at that point. So he performed many miracles, and several of them are documented in the pages of the Bible. Several aren't, but we're still talking about a limited number of miracles in that 3-year period. I don't have a number because, again, some of them are listed, some of them are not. But it was limited because they were confined to that 3-year period in time. Makes sense, right? And then Jesus ascended into heaven. So what happens there? Well, he's talking to the apostles who would carry on his mission after he ascended to the Father, which they did. He chose them to establish the church and to go out into the world and spread the good news. That was their great commission. But the church teaches that we are all responsible to do the same thing. So I am responsible to bring Jesus to those around me as well. Right? So what Jesus is saying there is that if you believe in me, and as a Christian, I am called to believe in Jesus. Not just believe that he existed, but believe in him. He's a real person. He's alive. He rose from the dead. He communicates to me. He gives me commands. I can choose to follow them. He gives me power. He gave me power when he sent the Holy Spirit. You know, this all goes in to believing in Jesus. Believing in him means a lot more than acknowledging that he existed. If we believe in him, we will do greater works than he has done. And remember, he's speaking to all of his followers throughout history until the end of time. So if you take all of the miracles performed through ordinary people like you and me, and we don't always recognize it, but we have all participated or have witnessed miracles of one kind or another. I mean, you can just look at the transformation of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ at every Mass. I mean, that's a miracle right there. And there's countless other miracles. Some of them I like to call ordinary miracles. And often we attribute these miracles, these cases of divine intervention, to luck. Oh man, I really lucked out there. But if we really would examine these miracles, would recognize that they aren't just luck. They are an example of divine providence. Childbirth, you know, a new life coming into the world. The fact that our bodies function, the internal organs, where I don't do anything to make that happen. And yet it's an incredibly complex process. My daughters, and I talked about this in my newsletter today, my daughters were given a 10% chance to be born alive. They're 23 and they're healthy, my twin daughters. A lot of prayer contributed to their miraculous healing. I've seen other miracles as well. You know, and what happens is if you were to tally these up, all the miracles from the time Jesus ascended into heaven up until the end of time, which obviously you can't do, but the number is going to be greater than the number of miracles performed by Jesus while he was on the earth. Now, granted, all of these miracles that come about in our lives through prayer, through our stepping out in faith, you know, praying for somebody's healing, and healing miracles taking place, and all kinds of miracles, the number will be greater than the number of miracles performed by Jesus in that 3-year span. But even though we are the instruments, if you want to call it that, of these miraculous healings and other phenomenon, all the power comes from Jesus. So it's still really him working through us. But nonetheless, that's a true statement. That we, through his power, through the power given to us by his Holy Spirit, we are going to perform more miracles and do greater works than he did in that limited period of time. And that's a good thing. But when it becomes a bad thing is if you and I were to look at the miracles in the Bible, and this is a very common practice, to look at the miracles performed by Jesus in the Bible and assume that those supernatural, spectacular events are no longer capable of being of happening today. And that's not a good approach because it's not true. You know, we serve a risen Savior. Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive. He's not dead. And because he's alive, you and me can have an interaction with him. We can have a relationship with him. He can work in us, and he will work in us, provided that we are open to it. And I think that's where we get ourselves into trouble. We limit his power. And it's very easy. I've said this myself, and I know other people have said it because I've heard it. If only I lived when Jesus was alive. You know, we get into those binds where we're really in trouble, and we just wished that we could go up to him and say, Lord Jesus, please heal me. Please help me with this problem. You know, we wished that we were living in his times. But yet we still have access to the very same living Jesus in our present age. And the key is, and this isn't easy, the key is for us to, through faith, turn to him and ask him for the miracles we need. It's not manipulation, because we can never guarantee exactly how he will respond. And would we really want that? You know, if we really want to believe in him and acknowledge that he is our Lord and Savior, meaning that we are not on the same level, he's got to have some degree of authority, right? And he does. But therefore, I shouldn't be able to just boss him around. He has more knowledge than I do. I shouldn't be able to say, I want this, therefore it should happen in my life. Because maybe whatever it is that we want, even if it's some sort of a miraculous healing, maybe that illness is something that we need to go through at that point in time. Because it's going to help our faith, help us get to heaven, and help us to lead others there as well. That's sometimes a problem for us to deal with. Sometimes we fail to recognize that. And we think, well, just because I ask for something, if I have enough faith, the Lord's going to give it to me. That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't make something... It wouldn't be fair for the Lord to respond that way. And it would be an incorrect interpretation of what Jesus is saying. He said, I can do great things. That therefore, and also, you know, this ends, and I left this part out, this gospel ends with, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. Meaning, and that means that when you ask for something in Jesus' name, and you'll hear me pray that a lot of times at the beginning, Father, grant this in Jesus' name. That means according to the will of Jesus. We're praying in the person of Jesus, who, by the way, has a better understanding of the situation than we do. So it is praying in accordance with his will. And I know it sounds hokey, and you might say, well, that's not fair. That's not what he said. But we got to look at this realistically. What kind of a loving Savior would give us something that would be bad for us just because we're asking for it? And you know, we do this all the time. We ask for things that we think are good, but which really aren't going to help us in the long run. Help us spiritually, help us get to heaven, you know? So he's not going to give us anything that's not good for us. So obviously there has to be another meaning to that. And I wouldn't, look, as much as I might complain at times when the Lord says no to me, I ultimately, if he really pushed me on this, I wouldn't want something that's going to hurt my chances of getting to heaven, especially now that I know him more. Years ago, I would have been more inclined to say, no, I want it anyway, because it's just it's going to feel good at the moment. But no, I really want to be with him in heaven. And I don't want him to give me anything that isn't good for me. So praying according to his will, that's really important. That's praying according to the Lord's perfect will. I can do that even if I don't fully understand. But if you need a miracle today, whatever it is, would you please ask him for it? If it's a miraculous healing, if it's a financial situation, if it's an elimination of your tendency to worry, if it's a relationship that's needs being healed, please ask for that miracle. At least give him a chance to perform it in your life. Because if you don't ask, you might really be missing out. He wants us to ask for things. He wants us to ask for big things. Because in that way, when we do that, in doing so, we are showing great confidence in him. And we're also giving him a chance to help us to grow in faith. You know, you see a couple miracles in your life and your faith begins to grow. Trust me on that one. So if you need a miracle today, I'm going to ask you, go ahead and ask for what you need. Don't sell Jesus short. And you believe it. He said it. Greater works are going to be done in our lifetime, collectively, as a whole, than in the short 3 years he spent on this earth. Okay? Hey, I'm going to run. Hope to be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. Have a wonderful day. If you have questions, you know where to find me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. If you get a chance and you're interested in helping out my ministry financially, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. I would really appreciate if you would consider that. And know that you're in my prayers. I pray for you every day. If you wouldn't mind praying for me, I would really appreciate that as well. All right, so thanks again. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time on Following the Truth. Bye-bye.